Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
What'd you like to know?
I'd like to know a response to what the gentleman said.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
And the Bulldog.
Oh, why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
On WGR.
And no, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later. No,
I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
Sports Radio 550.
Wow, wouldn't you love it if this hockey game was that contentious? Tonight, would you love to have that sort of spunk out there? Let's root for spunk. Come on.
Yeah.
I am struggling to figure out how I feel about tonight.
Okay.
The first thought I have
let's hash it out. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. I'm mostly just a little bit sad, and that's not to really blame anybody. Like, I'm not in the mood to blame them. I mean, it's the start of the season, and the players don't deserve that. I mean, Granato doesn't deserve that. Kevin Adams doesn't really deserve that. Like, they give him a chance, right? Somebody wants to say, give him a chance. I want to give them a chance. It's fine.
Me
good.
Too. Yep. Sure.
That's the right attitude, I think. This night has been almost like, I don't know, like almost like Christmas for me with my wife since we got married and got season tickets in 2005. So December of 2005, I did go to the opener that year, but not with her. And then we started going to all the games. And then by 2008, had a big group of people sharing season tickets. And the draft was like, well, that was another night that was kind of like a holiday for us. I always took that day off. And the opener was like the number one game. You and I talked about it a lot, like every year. Like, on the schedule, what is the number one game to get? The opener is the number one. That, to me, was, I am a season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, you know, the playoffs, sure, but you opening night, that's when you're there. Are you there for the Toronto games? Maybe. Are you there for the big whatever games? Like, you don't even know when you're drafting tickets when the big games are going to be. Just, you know, you want to be there for the opener.
Yep. And, yeah, maybe even more over the last few years because – you know, you might have suspected that by, you know, some point pretty early on, you might, you know, there won't be any big games.
Yeah.
Right. So might as well go to the opener. Like, that at least is, it's maybe the easiest game you'll have all year if you're a season ticket holder and like you go to 12 or 15 or 20, I don't know, however many you'd go to. Maybe the easiest time you'd have not being kind of grouchy about it. Like, because it's hard. I mean, you have to try to be, I mean, maybe, we'll see. I mean, but I think you got to make a special effort to be mad at everything on opening night. Because you just, it is still sports, and you still just never know.
Right. It's a night when you're not really that concerned about how they do. It's more just to be there, and you've got friends there, and people who aren't really your friends, but acquaintances you've made through your seat location. And yeah, it's kind of a celebration. And it will be or should be for anybody going tonight. I mean, it's opening night. That hasn't changed. But it has definitely changed for me, and it's not something I'm doing tonight. I doubt my wife even knows that tonight is the opener. I was kind of thinking to myself this morning, she works from home, and I'm thinking, like, is she going to ask about the Sabres? because like this was a must do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come and go, and I'm not sure she knows it's happening.
Right.
So,
and that probably is a source of sadness.
It
right?
is.
I mean, that's got to really bum you out, I would think, right?
And I'm not here to blame her for that because I
right.
largely
sure.
we're on the same page, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, thinking about tonight and even I can't escape this thought, and this is bumming me out. Like, what is it going to look like in there? How, just like, it's opening night. How many fans are going to be there? You know, I know there's going to be, you know, a substantial amount of people there, but will it be half full even? Like, I don't know. Like, our you know, we know, or at least I think we suspect what the season ticket number is, which is around the number, we've talked about this with Paul a couple times, around the number that they announced for the preseason games that they hosted, and that's in the low 6,000s. Because those tickets, the announced tickets distributed, there were nowhere near that number of people in the building for those games if fans who are listening right now weren't paying any attention to that. You know, but they announced that number, and that's tickets distributed, and the season ticket holders have to buy those preseason games, so add that up. That sounds like that might be their number. And I don't know. Are there people who bailed out on season's tickets, like yourself, who might be inclined to go to the opener on a, you know, just go buy a single seat?
Yes.
You know, sure. You know, rather, I don't want to make the commitment to even a, you know, the 10-pack or the half season or whatever, any of the new things that they've made available. I think it's quarter seasons, not 10-pack, but, you know, you get the picture. But, you know, I do want to give them that chance. I do. It might be a thing that people have been conflicted about, because you don't want to feel like a chump giving them your money if you are pretty sure they're going to be pretty bad. But there is a draw still. Like, it's the Sabres, and you love them. You know, I mean, that's how I feel about it. I did not wrestle with going to this game just because it wasn't going to work out for me schedule-wise. But there were, you know, I think the first preseason game, I think I told you, I thought about going down there just because I haven't been in the building. I miss going to rinks. You know, I don't have that youth hockey thing anymore. And so, you know, here's a chance to go do it. And I thought about it, and I chose not to. I would think that compulsion, if you can make the time to do it tonight, would be pretty strong with a lot of people who, like you, were going for, well, maybe even a lot longer than you were going.
Yep.
And have decided to bail out of it because of the state of things. You still might feel, I don't want to say a responsibility, but it because that's a little ridiculous, but you just might feel a draw to go just give them a chance. And so I don't know if that's going to total, you know, a couple hundred people, like dozens, hundreds, thousands. I have no idea, but I'm bracing for, you know, sitting down at 10 after 7 when this game is underway and just being mortified by what the building looks like.
And just like a little bit further on that, why would that be upsetting? Like, it's, I don't think for you, the first thing I thought of there is like reaction to it. We're hockey fans. Like, we'll talk to Travis Yost today. And somebody like Travis, you cover the league or you really are into the league and you're somewhere else, and you go, wow. Like, that would remind you of, like, a Florida crowd or something like that, the kind of crowd we've made fun of many times, Arizona, whatever. But I don't think you're really wired like that. I don't think you would care about that.
I think I care about that more than you think. I like how Buffalo is viewed as a hockey market. I really do. I mean, I love the sport. I don't necessarily love the NHL, but, you know, I love the sport. I love the Sabres. And I like that people are proud of their support of this team. Mm-hmm. And to know that they are proud of their support for this team and to realize what it's going to look like will make me sad. For us, more than, you know, the shots we'll take for it, or that the organization will take. They deserve the criticism, whatever comes. You know, the team deserves it, and that's not levied at us, the fans, for not going. But it just is emblematic of how sad a state of affairs we are sort of trapped in here. It's been terrible, and we've wondered like many times over the last 10 seasons, is this the bottom?
Hmm.
And I think we're about to see what the bottom is. I think from an attendance standpoint, I think we're really going to see it, and that is going to sting more so because I know what it symbolizes. It symbolizes a catastrophic disconnect between the organization and their fans. So you're right to say that I wouldn't worry about it as much as, you know, the criticism or the, you know, national perspective on it as much as what we'll be seeing, what I anticipate seeing anyway, symbolizes the state of things, and that will really bum me out more than mm-hmm. the criticism. But the criticism will register with me.
People,
because again, I think it means a lot. It means a lot to me that we're viewed as sort of a real important hockey hotbed market within the league.
I'm thinking of certain people. I'm not sure it's Travis, but people who might point out, like the broadcast partners are not going to make a story out of it if it is this way, because they don't do that sort of thing. They protect the shield, whatever. So I wouldn't think that, but you know, certain writers or whoever, but many of those people wouldn't like quote blame the fans, because those are going to be knowledgeable hockey people who know the team has missed the playoffs for 10 years. The best player, the savior, is like in this dispute, and he's, you know, stuck in this limbo, right? They didn't trade him. He doesn't play. That's singularly embarrassing, I guess. It can be looked at that way. And, you know, whatever else. And so, yeah, like, I don't know. That's part of how this may play out. And, you know, if I don't have anything more to say about that. It's just, I do want to say, though, that this moment, this situation, is not all the Sabres doing. Like, it's 10 years again, and they've made a lot of mistakes. This just in. But no Canadians, right? Like, no Canadian fans can come to this game. And that's a lot of people, especially when you're playing Montreal, right? Mm-hmm. So that's thousands of people who will not be allowed to go to this game. That will make a huge difference in the size of the crowd, probably. Because I don't think that many of us are ready there to take their place, you know, tonight. You have to be vaccinated to go to this game. And if you're under 12 without having a chance to have been vaccinated, you got to wear a mask the whole night. That is something that would keep some people away. Mm-hmm. Eichel is something that would keep some people away, I guess. Like, there are, and the fact that tickets, we've talked about this for many years, like how much cheaper they are on the secondary market for games, like, you know, where there's not huge demand, and that's most games, and this season starts, and it might be all games. So it's just sort of the math on the season ticket. I mean, that's been part of my decision, is just the math on this is raunchy. Like, I have to spend $100 because I can have this seat in the playoffs, which are just completely a pipe dream. So why would I do it? You know, like, why? It's thousands of dollars every year. Why would I do it right, if I can buy a decent seat for $20 or, you know, some other seat for $6? People always say $6 because I think that's the lowest they let you sell it for.
Maybe that is right.
Yeah. That math is there almost regardless of the state of the club. In a market like ours, I mean, that's a yep. problem.
Well, I think that's another thing. I mean, we'll see, but. I don't know, maybe the Sabres will do something about that themselves as far as making tickets available on the secondary market. Like, I don't know how, you know, you go about doing that. You're as the club, like, normally those are season tickets that are sold, and then they're available on the secondary market for fans who don't want to use them, or in the case of, like, Toronto or Montreal games, you think you're going to make a profit off of them. Okay, great. Get some of your money back. If you've only got a season ticket number, you know, it's under 7,000, which I feel pretty safe saying that's where it is. that where, you know, some of those will be available on the secondary market, but you're talking about, you know, 12,000 tickets that are available at the box office, not for $6 on the secondary market.
Right.
And who's buying those? So, well, like, even if you want to go, if you've done the equation and you've gotten comfortable with, you know, you still like to go. I think we've heard from this person over the years, right? I had season tickets. I gave them up because the person sitting next to me paid a quarter of what I paid, and that just seems ridiculous. And you still love going, right? You never really soured on it. So you just started sitting in different places every time and buying the tickets as you went. For, you know, for, again, a huge secondary market discount.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Right. I don't know what sort of secondary market there is. Like, are they available? Like, even if you wanted to do that, because you don't want to spend the thousands, you want to just, well, you know, whatever, $25, $10, whatever. You know, be a fun night out, go drink some arena beers, and just go check it out. That is not, I don't think, I mean, I could be proven wrong here, but, you know, I don't anticipate that market being as vibrant as it has been in other years.
No, like in my season ticket group, selling seats that way was always a topic of conversation. Somebody would draft the Leaf games and try to sell the Leaf games for money, you know, like you said. So that was always a topic of conversation. Are you going to go? Are you going to try to sell these? Or what are you going to do? But how is there any way of doing that, really, like, right, at this point? I mean, I guess, but it's going to be way reduced. Well,
so that's another way that the crowds will be kept down, because even if someone is comfortable doing that at that price point, that might not be available to them as readily as it has been, and so you're sort of stuck. Like, I don't want to pay the box office window price. I don't want to pay the season ticket price or even a quarter season ticket price, and there aren't as many seats available on the secondary market. So now that's another way that I think you're just going to see a real limit on attendance.
It really you can appreciate how challenging this situation is for those people that work there, like, that to try to sell season tickets. Then again, you have your friend's story about how he reached out to ask about season tickets and no one contacted him for a month.
Right.
And that is the kind of stuff that makes me angry. I go from sad to angry because, like, it just feels like it's so thin, the operation, almost like abandoned, with due respect to people who are there. Almost everybody that I've had as a friend over the years worked there has all been dismissed. And so I don't know who's left. I've had names of people come up through emails and things, and then some of them are no longer working here. The account services department, where you would go to figure out plans for tickets, is only open by appointment now. You have to make an appointment. The SaberBucks rebate, that I liked that always, a season ticket holder, right? We didn't get playoffs that many times, but you at least got some money back by being a season ticket holder. You could spend it in the store or even just take the money. They announced today that it isn't working in time for this game.
What?
It isn't going to be working tonight. It isn't ready.
So you can't use,
right,
like, the app on your phone that keeps track of your SaberBucks at concession stands or in the store?
Something like that. They're still offering that discount. That when I would go, I guess it's 2 years ago now, they had that then, and you would go from concession stand to concession stand, and at one place they would make you show your something on your phone. Usually nobody knew how to do it, and they would just give it to you, or they would not give it to you. But it was always confusing to me, and like, so what? It was like a dollar off or something, whatever. Like, just, so I don't know. They still. There's something like that in play for tonight. But the SaberBucks thing, however that would manifest, they sent an email to season ticket holders today saying it's not ready. It isn't going to work in time for this game. I mean, really, how many times have they had fans in there in since like March of 20? But it's still not ready. Like, wow. There's just...
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. I'm sort of... My posture changed in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
I know.
It's just... Part of this is not their fault. Like, I'm much older than I was when my new bride and I would go to games and stay out late every night. No kids, no babysitter, all that. And so it became a different experience, regardless of how good the team was.
Sure, you were going to change and, anyway. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it just it stopped being fun for me. Like it just became less and less fun. I would tell you how the amount of money I was spending on it would be working on me from the moment I walked in. And like, okay, well, this had better be a pretty cool night now because the babysitter is $50 more. And I don't know. Like, it's just buying tickets for the kids. It just became this sort of, it just grew and grew and grew. The pressure on the outing to really perform became pretty great. And I would leave in the middle of games because I just did not like the feeling. Uh-huh. So, you know, apart from my experience, and that's not to say anybody else's should resemble that necessarily, they need to make it the cool party. Like they need, for however good the team is going to be, they're not going to lose every game. You know, like they're going to have some interesting young players. It's got to become the cool party somehow. And that's tough when the building's a third full. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work that well. Then you're like you're at a different sport. You're at a minor league sporting event.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Right? I mean, nobody wants to go where nobody goes. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds a little ridiculous, but like you get to an event like that, and if it strikes you that lots of people aren't like-minded, thinking this seems like a cool thing to do, it makes it less cool. Just in general. I mean, I'm not saying that describes everyone, but like I know I've had that sensation, whether it's going out to a club to see a band that I think is going to be like really well attended, and I get there and there's 40 people there, and it's like, oh man. You know, this is depressing. I mean, from a hockey standpoint, that's what I think we're looking at. You're going to have to just put that aside if you want to try to find a way to enjoy this, because I don't think you're going to be looking at, you know, packed houses. I mean, we've heard people and ourselves even have complained about the atmosphere in the building for years when it was full.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I mean, yes. So imagine, you know, the noise-o-meter, you know, goes on during a TV timeout in the first period tonight. I mean, are they going to do all the stuff they normally do? Because those moments make it worse for me. Again, this doesn't describe everyone. I'm not there with, you know, little kids, although you make the vaccination point. And so, like, I don't know what that'll be like even. But like I'm there and the buildings, I'm thinking about 2003 here, all right, before the season long lockout. And that was the worst I ever saw the building. I think a lot of us would agree if we remember that far back, you know, half full building for the Flyers, you know, not for Nashville, but like, you know, a rival, a big hated historic rival. And you got 9,000 people in there, and I'd sit there and like all the stuff that you do for the game, just whether the stuff is a good idea or executed well almost begins to not matter when you're dealing with a crowd that small in a venue that large. It just looks like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like it calls attention to the fact that there's so few people there. And that only enhances this feeling that I'm describing of just like, why did I come here? You know, like, why did I do this? No one's here.
It will,
you know, no disrespect to the 9,000.
Yeah, no, enjoy it. Like good for them, and good luck to everybody over there pulling this off. I mean, I think it's probably going to be right to hold off on the biggest conclusions until the border opens, and then we'll see come November, you know, what that can look like. But not all those people don't have to come over for games. Right. We don't know. Hopefully the team can also not just look like it's the worst, right? Because
I mean that's, you know, every game, especially early here in the season, is an opportunity to, you know, kick really everything we've just talked about for 20 minutes square right in the face. You know, you go ahead. You feel good about your team. You feel good about your chances. Okay, go surprise the skeptics. Mm-hmm. Go surprise me. You know, they do have that chance.
There's got to be a 10-game winning streak coming at some point.
So, I mean, I'll sit down tonight hoping for that, and I promise not to get mad if it doesn't get delivered, because, you know, I'm only hoping so much, right? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it's at least, you know, I'm recognizing that it's possible, you know, that they don't have to, you know, these games, like, how bad could it be anyway? You know, you're not going to lose by 6 goals every time you play. It's still the NHL, you know, so, you know, go prove everybody wrong.
Exactly. Travis Yost joins us later, and pregame's at 6. We'll talk a lot of football, including with Joe Ostrowski from BetQL. His weekly appearance is next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So mean. Welcome back. The Sabres open tonight at home, 7 o'clock or shortly thereafter here on WGR. The Bills are killing it. We'll talk a lot of Bills, of course. John Clayton makes his regular Thursday appearance with us later. And speaking of those who make regular Thursday appearances, on the line, BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Joe Ostrowski. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Joe, what is new?
Hey, guys. Just listening in, and your conversation that you're having this afternoon brings me back to exactly 10 years ago. By stating the Sabres need to be the cool place to be. That's exactly where the Blackhawks were.
Yeah.
And, boy, I mean, believe me, they were always the least popular professional team in town. We're kind of back to there right now with what the White Sox have done in recent years. But they made changes at the very top. I don't know if something that is going to ever happen there. But, man, it did bring me back because they brought in the marketing guru who was with the Cubs forever. After the old man Wirtz died, his son Rocky Wirtz took over, and the first thing he did was make them available to everyone and bring in the marketing guru and make this young core that they were bringing in available on every TV show, every radio show, right. Everywhere, at all times. And then the stadium just became rocking. It just became the place to be. It kind of helps when you have a young Kane and a young Taves and Dougie Keith and all that. It was a perfect storm, but I just kept thinking about that listening in.
Joe, we talked a lot about how dark the days were for the Blackhawks, and how it eventually turned and they got those high draft picks. We talked about that a lot 10 years ago. Here we still are spinning our wheels, not going anywhere. We're still having the same conversation.
Yeah.
So you don't want me to bring up that the Sabres are 150-1 to win the Cup?
Is that the highest?
They're tied for the highest. Tied. Yeah, they're at the very bottom.
Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not, they're not likely to win the Cup. A friend of mine has been with the Blackhawks since then. He went there at around that time, and I have stories too. Like, Bulldog knows one story where my wife's sister, her husband went to DePaul. And they knew that I had this friend, and they asked me if I could get them Blackhawks tickets. And I'm thinking, of course I can, because there are thousands that go unused every night. And so he helped us, and I'm like, here you go. And they texted us right when the game started. They were in the front row. Like, they were on the glass. He put them on the glass for free. Like, that it was, come on in. Wow. That's how the Sabres need to be. I mean, just all, to whatever extent they are functioning, actually, they just – What can we do for you? And part of the...
That's exactly.
You know, right? Like, and part of my frustration has been that sometimes I get the complete opposite vibes. It just seems completely the opposite of that. And so may that change, or maybe I'm wrong. I would love to hear stories like that happening here. Well, in brighter news, Joe, like the Bills, we've got this streak, these streaks we didn't know about, or I didn't know about, where they've had halftime leads for it's 12 or 14 games in a row, the NFL record, and they've led seven regular season games in a row at halftime by double digits, including the game at Kansas City. We talked about that Houston game where they were 17-point favorites, and, you know, what do you do with that? Of course, they blew that out of the water. This team may, with the schedule they have, this team may really test some limits when it comes to odds and history.
Complete opposite end of the spectrum. The Bills are now the favorite to win the Super Bowl at plus 550. So obviously they're also the favorite to come out of the AFC. Guys, we're going into week six, and the odds for the AFC East, Bills are minus 1,800, meaning you have to bet $1,800 just to win $100 for the Bills to win the division. Josh Allen is the favorite at most places to be your MVP at plus 450. I got this question on Twitter the other day because a change that I've liked in sports betting with so many different options, people are just looking to take bets. They want more stuff to bet on. So what a lot of these sports books are doing is every single week they're reposting the win totals, something that I don't recall seeing in the past. It was something you could bet before the season starts, and that's it. That's your season-long bet on the win totals. But now they're going back up and adjusting every single week. And the question that I received is, what am I missing on this Bills number? Because the number's still 12.5. Now, it's juiced to the over, if we use FanDuel as an example, minus 155, so you'd have to bet 155 to win 100. And somebody was asking me on Twitter, what am I missing? I said, well, you're just betting that Josh Allen is going to stay healthy, because that's the only way I see them going under that number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Something?
No, I mean, minus 1,800 of the division seems light to me. Like, I could use $100. Just
right.
Who's going to take it? You know, the Bills could lose Allen. It's kind of a trendy thing to point out. I know the Bears, but Trubisky might be the next best quarterback in the division. So, I don't know. I mean,
wow.
What would have to happen? So, it is sports, but it does seem pretty safe. Well, I mean,
I guess the one other angle you could look at, and I think it shut a lot of people up what happened on Sunday night, obviously, when you do that against Mahomes, when you look at the metrics, can this defense possibly keep this up for an entire season? And the answer is probably no. Are they going to be number one in every category that a lot of bettors or just football fans look at the end of the year? Maybe, but everyone, like they are right now, yards per play, defensive DVOA, rush DVOA, pass DVOA, against the run success rate, probably not. But even though Josh Allen is the MVP favorite right now, I mean, you guys would probably admit that there's a better Josh Allen that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Certainly compared to like weeks one and two, I guess. MVP is going to be so much fun. I know we've talked about this already in our stint here, Joe, with you over the last few weeks, but it's still so good because there's just makeable arguments for six or seven guys.
I've debated this one this week with some people because we have so much football left. Is Mahomes still in the race?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think yes. I think yes because he has what I think Jackson has and less so Allen – less than Jackson too, though, where you would give him most of the credit if the Chiefs rolled up wins now. You know, like the defense is terrible and they have Kelsey and Hill, but the running backs hurt too. Like it's going to be Mahomes if they do it in the way that it's Jackson with the Ravens. And with Allen, like it's not really fair for criteria, you know, in that way, but he's not disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to be chasing points. They can dial it back if they choose to. I don't know that they do want to do that later on in games. My Mahomes argument would just be, like you just mentioned with the defense, so they're going to need to score right now 40-plus
yeah.
if they want to win games. This the schedule makers did them no favors. Four Super Bowl contenders in 5 weeks to start the season. And you could find Mahomes at around 18-1, just barely in that top 10. With so much football left and breaking some records, if he stays healthy, I do think that he does have a chance. But, I mean, there's a reason he's moved down, certainly. And part of the reason, 6 interceptions already on the season.
Yeah. Joe, you mentioned how the Bills' number hasn't changed, and somebody asked you on Twitter, why hasn't it changed? Has anything happened to the Chiefs' number?
For the season win total?
Yeah.
It is, let me check, on the division, I do remember this because I was looking at this the other day. The Chiefs are still co-favorites to win the division, but they are co-favorites with the Los Angeles Chargers. So, yes, the Chiefs' number has come down. I want to say it was 12.5 before the season started. We're at 10.5. 10.5 juice to the over. So it's -130. You have to bet 130 to win 100 there. So, yeah, it has come down. And I'm sure it's – I don't think it's a huge shock that they're struggling coming out of the gates, like we mentioned with the schedule. What is alarming is they're the worst in everything defensively. You didn't expect that. So they're going to need so much from the offensive end just to win games. But I do think they are in a perfect get-right spot, favored by less than a touchdown on the road at Washington. What we thought was going to be a good defense, but boy, are they having a lot of issues. Maybe one of the most surprising unit in the National Football League, that Washington defense can't stop anybody.
The worst two defenses in the league in that game, Kansas City and Washington, the total up around 54. What do you think of Bills-Titans? So it's Monday night. The Bills were so impressive on Sunday night. They've lost to Tennessee last year in another night game, as it happens. Mm-hmm. The line almost doubled after the Chief game, the way I looked at it, from like 3 to 5.5. Is there a Buster theory thing here with the Titans, given how good the Bills look? Or again, like they score so much that, you know, it's going to be very tempting for anybody to want to bet on them.
So naturally, after that Sunday night game with all the buildup, people would bring up, "Whoa, this is a perfect letdown spot." Well, no, it's not. They're on Monday night, and they're playing against the Titans. So that's why that line continues to grow a little bit. Something that we were talking about on BetQL Daily was, okay, if you take another team, oh, I don't know, like the ones with the stars on their helmets, if they have the exact same resume that your Bills have, same defensive numbers, same thing offensively, you have the MVP on your team. Isn't this number higher than 5.5 going against a pretty soft defense in the Titans?
Yeah, maybe. You would know. I mean, that's like Dallas or certain other teams just get
reputation.
Yeah, I guess. The Bills have earned some of that, though. I mean, they were great last year, and the dominance here, and then the Sunday night game. So they shouldn't be too much of a secret.
No, they're not, and the public does like to back them. So it'll be curious. We know it's going to be all about Derrick Henry. You guys would know better than me. How do you think they're going to attack stopping Henry? I mean, this guy already has 142 rushes, almost 50 more than any other player in the league. Do you think they're going to stack the box more, something we haven't seen early on?
Boy, that's a good question, Joe. I don't know. Like, they have done – I mean, I know Kansas City is not Tennessee running the ball, but they stopped Kansas City's running game with 6 in the box. And they've done a decent job on Henry the last couple of times they've faced him. At least that's my recollection. Yep. I don't have the boxes in front of me. But
19 for 57 last year.
Yeah. So whatever they did last year, I would say they would want to do more of that because it seems like they had a good plan.
I understand if people want to bet the Bills. I would too. That would be my look at the current number of 5.5. Now, once we get past the Sunday games, the public's going to jump in, and they are likely to bet that number up in their mind. The Bills are dominant. They watch Sunday's game. They're the Super Bowl favorite. And on the other side, you have the Tennessee Titans, and their issues on defense have carried over to another season.
What they need to do to stop Derrick Henry, in my book, is score more than 16 points like they did last year when they lost with us big to Tennessee, turnovers, and it got out of hand. Joe Ostrowski of BetQL. Monday night's game between Indianapolis and Baltimore, from a fantasy standpoint, was off the hook. I mean, just insane, and lots of stories about, look at the swing in this game. What was that like from a betting standpoint? Was there some amount of that? I mean, it was great just for the simple entertainment value of the game, I would say. But, you know, I know a couple people who were, like, excited to tell us that they bet Baltimore when they were down, you know, 25-9 or whatever. Like, bet Baltimore live. So that would have worked out.
Yeah, I had Baltimore in a teaser, and that somehow got home. I wrote it down as a loser about halfway through that game. Just a miraculous comeback there. Survivor pools were impacted in a major way last week. So not only do you have the Ravens game, but the three most popular plays for the week were Baltimore, Minnesota Vikings tried their damnedest to give that game away, and they did not. And then the New England Patriots with their late comeback against the Texans. Those are the three most popular plays. The Circus Survivor contest that I'm in, if those three go down, that knocks out 90% of the pool last week.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that would have been good for you.
Yeah. I had New England and Minnesota with my two spots, so it would have been really bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. No. Well, yeah. So many. I got confused there. I love that contest, though. I love hearing those updates. I'm not sure I can fit it in next year, Bulldog. Maybe you and I, if we team up, we can get it in the Circa.
Yeah.
Real contest.
Mean. Yeah.
We might have interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else do you like this week?
I'm fascinated by what the Raiders look like.
Yeah.
Without John Gruden. So not only do you lose your head coach, you lose your play caller, and I don't care what anybody says. That was what was going on completely impacted that team. They were a no-show. They were a no-show against the Bears. So how is this team going to rally together and respond to everything that's happened? So the betting markets move this by a point. A week ago, it was Denver -2.5. It opened at 3. And now we're sitting as the Broncos have been struggling offensively as 3.5-point favorites over the Raiders. Now, this coaching staff, they've got a lot of guys that have been around the block, some of them with some head coaching experience. The play caller is now going to be Greg Olsen. I'm expecting a bounce-back performance from the Raiders. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, all of a sudden, you're not going against the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets. So he's having some issues the last couple of weeks. They've lost to the Steelers last week. They should have won that game probably. And then of course, the Ravens a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the Raiders offense, dead last in the league in play action when Gruden was calling the plays. So who knows? Maybe when it's all said and done, this is a bit of an upgrade. So I'm curious how the Raiders respond. I do like them since it is more than a field goal. And the Cardinals just won't lose. They're now 5-0. They're visiting the Browns. Browns are favored by a field goal. Notice yesterday when we got word that Kyler Murray limited with the shoulder, they moved the point spread by a half point. They moved it up to 3. Max Williams was involved in the offense. He's on injured reserve. Their center, Rodney Hudson, is down. The Browns need this game. They don't want to fall to 3-3 out in the season. You fall to 500 in that AFC. All of a sudden, you're thinking, wait, are we going to make the playoffs as tough as it is? Expecting a big game out of Chubb and Hunt. The Arizona Cardinals defense dead last in the league in explosive rush rate. So you would think that those guys would dominate. I like the Browns -3 at the Cardinals, against the Cardinals rather.
Okay.
To give Arizona their first loss of the season.
That's an interesting one.
How about a quick thought on Chargers Ravens? That's a game we'll be really paying attention to here, with both of those teams being 4-1 tied with the Bills.
Man, I can't wait to watch this game. I know there are a lot of bettors that are going to look at it and say, wait, everything's going right for the Chargers. We've got a guy who could be the MVP in Justin Herbert, maybe the coach of the year, and they're an underdog to Baltimore, and they're on a short week. I don't really have a strong angle in the game. I can't wait to watch it. This Chargers thing is off the charts. I was high on them coming into this season, but I wasn't this high. I didn't think that they would be 4-1 with a tough stretch to start the season. I mean, last week, they put up 47 points in 23 minutes, 500 yards. It's amazing. Now, the only flaw that they have right now is probably something maybe they're not too concerned with. They can't stop the run. So how is that going to look against the Ravens? It's going to be fascinating. Lamar, the last couple of defenses have made him throw from the pocket. He's been terrific. So if you get this Lamar, I mean, maybe we should talk more about the Ravens making some sort of a Super Bowl run. The top of the AFC, as you guys know, so deep.
It's awesome. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
BetQL Daily host Joe Ostrowski. Be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more of Joe's analysis. Just search BetQL wherever you find your podcasts. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Travis Yost joins us to preview the start of the Sabre season and the NHL. That'll be just after 4. This is WGR.
He's probably the most professional guy I've ever played with. He's super humble. Like you said, he's been in the league for a very long time, and he just takes good care of everyone, especially the young guys coming in. He talks to everyone and makes sure everyone feels good. He's a really good guy to have on our team, and just appreciate playing with him.
Now the Sabres winger Victor Olofsson, he and the Sabres are opening the 2021-2022 regular season tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We'll get more into the specifics on the matchup as we get closer to 6 o'clock and the pregame show. Paul Hamilton will be with us. We'll hear from head coach Don Granato, Rasmus Dahlin, as well as far as player interviews go. Craig Anderson, the 40-year-old veteran, expected to get the start in goal for the Sabres, and Montreal will be using the backup to the backup goalie is what they're going to have to go with tonight. Of course, if you've been following it, Carey Price has left the team and is gone for, I think, at least a month or so from when he left, which was at some point last week. He's in the NHL Player Assistance Program. So Jake Allen played last night. The Habs opened the season in Toronto last night and lost 2-1 to the Maple Leafs. So Sam Montembeault will
yes.
be your starter for the Montreal Canadiens tonight. He played, I think, 12 games for Montreal last season, maybe 25 overall in his career. I was looking at his career a little while
ago. Oh, I wish you hadn't done that.
Oh, we were going to play a Sam Montembeault
fact or fiction. Yes, we had Montembeault fact or fiction, but that's going to be tough now. You'll just crush it. Well,
I could begin with, do you actually say his name like I'm saying it, Montembeault?
So, I mean, I bet yes.
It's what it looks like. It's one of these guys. I mean, you know me, right? We joke around, Mike, about how, you know, I'm always watching a game. You get to this time of the year and right through the playoffs, I've got a hockey game on every night. And this is not a name I've ever heard before. I've never turned on a game and, like, heard the announcer going,
well,
oh, Montembeault with the save.
Like,
he's played some games.
You tend to not watch a lot of Florida games.
Ah, well, there you go.
So explains it. Yeah. Let's take a break. We have Travis Yost next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.